I have two important announcements. The first announcement is that Pope Francis has selected Monsignor Doman to be the fifth Bishop of Allentown. And the second announcement is that it's April 1st, also known as April Fool's Day. So, now let's get serious. Let's talk about death. Death is one of the most surest thing, actually it's the surest thing in life. It's the thing we're also most afraid of. Why is that? For one, death is a mystery, and I think that's why we're always anxious about it. What is it going to be like? But there's something else about death that I kind of want to really focus in on this afternoon. That death is something we have no control over. So when we see Lazarus lying in the grave, we see an utterly helpless person. A person that cannot give himself life. This story, this gospel account, when we see Lazarus in the grave, it's meant to also signify our spiritual death. Sin has put us in this state of utter helplessness. And there's nothing we can do about that. Nothing. And I think that bothers us a great deal, because we like to be in control. And we think we're in control. And some of us eat the right things and do the exercises, but we still can't avoid death. And when it comes to our spiritual death, we can't save ourselves from that either. What's interesting about this passage, or at least what I find interesting, is Jesus' reaction to seeing Lazarus lying there on the ground. First of all, he asks the question, "Where have you laid him?" In John's gospel, there's multiple and multiple layers of meanings to these phrases. So on the first level, it's a very practical question. Where is Lazarus? Where's his cave? But I can't help and think of a deeper level to that question. For example, when Adam and Eve sin, what does God ask? God asks Adam, "Where are you?" That sin has caused this separation of us from God, and now God is on the search for us. So I also can't help but think of the prodigal son in the Gospel of Luke. The father sees the lost son from a distance. Why? Because he's looking for him. So Jesus asked the question, "Where have you laid him?" But then also the emotions that happened to Jesus in this. First, he gets deeply perturbed and troubled. In the Greek, it's very strong words. It's a strong connotation. He's worked up. He's almost angry. And then when he sees Lazarus there in the tomb, he weeps. I find that utterly fascinating. He gets angry and he weeps. Why? Because he sees the helplessness of Lazarus. He sees the physical death and he sees the spiritual death. And if Jesus is the revealer of God, then he's expressing the emotions of God when we are spiritually dead. And that is not of anger or happiness, it's one of weeping. That God's upset not because we sin, but because we're now lost from him. He has lost a beloved son and daughter. And he weeps for that. He weeps at the dead state of us. Don't we sometimes, and I know I'm guilty of this, you know, you see a very bad person on the media, maybe somebody did a horrible crime, and our first reaction is, well, God will give him what he deserves, and we almost get happy about that. We get satisfied. God doesn't act like that, though. He doesn't act like that according to us and to our sins. He doesn't get happy. He's not happy to administer justice. He would rather administer mercy. There's hope at the end of this passage. Hope in the word of Jesus, in Lazarus and ours helpless state. That all he has to do is speak. Rise. Come out, Lazarus. And he does. Because his word is a creative word. It's a word that brings things from nothingness into something. He is the resurrection and the life. So the power of those words in the moment of death is that I am the resurrection. If I say rise, it will rise. And notice at the very end, he says what? Untie him. The bonds of sin and death have been broken. Untie him and let him go. And it's only because of his word. He says it, and it happens. We have nothing to do but to give our lives and our trust over to the resurrection and the life. We can't save ourselves. We will one day meet our own physical death, but may it not be a spiritual death. The creative word of Christ still continues today in the sacraments. This is my body, which changes bread into his body, blood, soul, and divinity by his creative word. I absolve you from your sins in the sacrament of confession. Truly cleanses our souls of our sins because of his creative word. In our ultimate state of helplessness, there is always hope. God has come to us, he has searched for us, and he has found us. And through his word, he can change our helpless state into a glorified state. He can change our death to one day to our own bodily resurrection. He can change our spiritual death into being bestowed his divine life. And he's done it out of mercy and out of kindness. He wants to do this. It hurts him when we're lost. Let us console his comfort. Let us console his mourning. And be believers and be his beloved sons and daughters of God the Father. May God bless you.